Friends, we are blessed yet again with another extension of Christ's teaching on the critical importance of putting relationship with Him first and of the amazing fruits that come from living this way. He teaches today using some very well-known yet quite confounding words. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This sounds good at first blush, right? But then you're probably remembering the many times that you've asked, sought, knocked, but have not received what you wanted. So what gives? He says everyone who asks, you know, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. You know, what is he talking about here? Well, the same gospel passage gives us the answers if we look closely. Notice that when Jesus talks about how much more loving and generous our Father in heaven is than human fathers, he mentions that the Father will lavish the Holy Spirit upon those who ask. In other words, we often don't get what we want, but what we need. God always answers our prayers. There's never an exception. He always answers. But how? By sending the grace through the Holy Spirit. He always seeks to draw us deeper into relationship with Him and away from our focus on ourselves. But we need to be open to receive these graces from Him. And that's the key. Otherwise, they kind of bounce off of us. Right? If we're not open, He's not going to force them on us. Jesus knows all about this, and therefore He helps us to learn what to ask for so that our hearts will be disposed to receive, properly disposed to receive. And what better lesson plan than the Our Father? It's the ultimate prayer in many ways. Well, the Mass is the ultimate prayer. The Our Father is part of it. But the Our Father encapsulates all aspects of the Christian life, all in that one brief prayer. And today we encounter Luke's version of this marvelous prayer, which is slightly different and a little bit shorter than the Matthew's version that we're used to, that we'll pray here in a few minutes, that we pray all the time with the rosary and so on. But they're both based on the same teaching of Jesus. And so Luke's version also starts out with praise. Hallowed be thy name. Also starts out with the desire to do God's will. Your kingdom come. And then we know with Matthew's version, your will be done follows immediately after. So what's going on here right at the beginning? Relationship first, right? Your name be hallowed, O Lord. Your kingdom, your will be done. Then the prayer moves on to petitions for the essentials. And what do I mean by that? Well, we pray for our daily bread. And yes, in a certain sense, that refers to we need food, we need water, you know, we need nutrients. But on a deeper level, we can't help but think of the Holy Eucharist. And that's really the essence of daily bread when Jesus is talking about this, because from the Eucharist comes all the other gifts that the Lord gives us. So we pray for our daily bread, our sustenance to get us through the day spiritually and yes, physically, but also pray for conversion, which leads to salvation. The rest of the prayer is talking about, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have debts, is the word that Luke uses, debts against us. And lead us not to the final test. Lead us not into temptation. So that's what the Our Father is all about. Us growing deeper into relationship with our Father. So those are the essentials. I'm not talking about fleeting earthly things like food, like drink, like cars, like vacations, like a new house, whatever else you might want and you might be asking for. And those aren't terrible in and of themselves, but we need the essentials first. And when you pray this way, you will actually receive far more than you ever imagined. Not just the essentials. The Lord is not stingy, not at all. He'll lavish all kinds of blessings upon you. And yet, at the same time, you won't be preoccupied with what you receive or what you don't receive. You know, oftentimes we don't get what we want because it's not according to His will. But you won't be preoccupied with that. Instead, you will become ever more Christ-like, trusting that He will provide everything you need. It might not be in the same packaging as you might have imagined, but he'll provide everything you need, and also seeking to serve others through your prayer and your actions. Not serving yourself, but serving others. That's becoming more and more Christ-like. Today's first reading gives an amazing example of this life being lived out well by Abraham. We have Abraham 2 weeks in a row, which is a treat. And look at his great boldness before the Lord. Look at how he's praying. It's pretty remarkable. He's standing right there with the Lord and kind of pushing the envelope here, right? And how is this possible? How does he have the gumption to even go there? Well, because he puts a relationship first. That's how. By this time in his life, Abraham has a... So he's later on in his years. This is towards the end of his life now. He has a deep, deep relationship with the Lord. An abiding relationship with the Lord. And therefore, he's comfortable making such bold moves. He fully trusts in the Lord's mercy and goodness, which he's seen in action. He's seen it playing out time and time again. So therefore, he's willing to stick out his own neck in order to help not himself, but other people. Notice he's not looking out for himself. He's already safe there with the Lord. He's looking out for other people. So that's beautiful witness for us. And yet, this is all the more possible for us since we are members of the baptized, as St. Paul reminds us in today's second reading. We should have immense confidence in God because of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in which we have been baptized. We're baptized right into that mystery of our Lord, and we're meant to live our lives in that mystery. As we know from following this story with Abraham to its end, we don't get the end today, right? God actually does wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. So, by logic, we know, well, there wasn't even one innocent person there, right? Because Abraham leads us to that conclusion. God says if there's any innocent people, but he wipes out Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the same in terms of innocence is true for our world now. There's nobody in this world that isn't tainted by sin. So none of us are truly just, truly 100% innocent. However, for the sake of the only one and only just and innocent man, Jesus Christ, God has spared humanity from destruction and opened up the possibility of salvation. Now, this is marvelous news. This is the good news that we hear about a lot. This is the good news. And our job is to embrace this news with confidence and joy, allowing the Lord to lead us away from the destruction of sin and selfishness and on toward salvation. And as we allow Him to do this, we learn how to pray as we ought and to live our lives for others, not for ourselves. Today's responsorial provides a beautiful example of the proper disposition of heart that enables us to live this amazing life, also gives an illustration of the fruits that come from living this way. I will worship at your holy temple, the psalmist proclaims, and give thanks to your name because of your kindness and your truth. Notice the disposition of this person's heart. It's your name, it's your kindness, it's your truth, it's your temple. Praising the Lord, heart oriented toward the Lord, not towards me, towards the Lord. That's the proper disposition. There's a relationship here. You can see that this person has a deep relationship with the Lord and is comfortable opening up his or her heart like this to the Lord. The Lord is first. So that's key. Now the psalmist continues. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart. For you have heard the words of my mouth. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. We get a sense here of the great trust and confidence that this person has in the Lord, right? I called, you answered. So there's been some persistence in prayer. This person's been asking for things, probably sometimes not receiving what was desired, right? But receiving what was needed, an experience we've all had, but still trusting that the Lord is answering. Might not look the way I want, but the Lord's answering. And then, of course, the fruits that come from this persistence in prayer, this trust. You built up strength within me. You answered me. You have heard the words of my mouth. Wonderful. And there's more. For you have made great above all things your name and your promise. We are meant to give God the glory for working through us. Now this person could have said, hey, that's awesome. Look at all these great things. Look at me because of what you did, Lord. That's kind of pointing towards oneself. But God works out his glory through us. His glory shines through us if we allow him to do so. And that's what it's always meant to point to him. So he works out his glory through us. He draws others to him through us. He sends us out at the end of Mass. Go in peace. He's saying, go out, preach the good news, bring more people in. It's his glory. It's not our glory. And that's a very Eucharistic image, too, that we're musing on here. He's drawing others to him through us, the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we now see with increasing clarity that perseverance in prayer is crucial, absolutely necessary. And what is this perseverance? What does it mean? Well, spending committed time every day, not just occasionally, but every day in prayer. This is working on your relationship with the Lord. And it's simply the most important thing you can do each day. The most important. It's not a sideshow. It's not a maybe. Maybe if you have a little spare time. No, this is the bedrock. This is the foundation of who we are and how we're meant to live. And of course, it takes on many forms. There's a million different kinds of prayer. But it must include personal prayer. You dialoguing with the Lord, working on that relationship. Also, of course, it's kind of obvious to say this, but you need to be real during this time and not just go through the motions. It's not just a matter of busting out a couple prayer cards, no matter how beautiful the prayers are, and then moving on. That's okay, maybe to start, but you have to work on that relationship, focusing on Him, not on yourself. That's so crucial. And after all, in His immense kindness and mercy, He has removed your sins, your guilt, your shame. That's all His mercy. He didn't have to do that, but He did. And so entrust yourself to Him with great confidence. He is very trustworthy. Rather than focusing on yourself, on your sins, on your problems, on your struggles. And friends, if you live this way, I can guarantee it, you'll be filled with the peace and joy beyond all understanding, and you will walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God.